Okay, afternoon. How are you? Merry Christmas to you. Maybe you're wondering, why are you saying Merry Christmas that early? Well, the church that I serve, we have a tradition. Probably you heard about Advent season. Have you heard of that word, Advent? Or Advent candles? If you have not, you can Google that. Probably here, maybe when you're home. So my church observe what they call the Advent candles. So it's a 4 week long every Sunday. It begins with the last Sunday of November, usually all the way to the third Sunday of December. So when the first Advent candle is being lit, which is last Sunday, it is a physical reminder that the Christmas season has finally arrived. So we are already in the Christmas season. Christmas is not a day. It is a day and a season, okay? So that's why within the Christmas season, we say Merry Christmas to one another. So I understand, you know, people, maybe your neighbors, your schoolmates, or anyone you interact, your friends, they may not be Christian, but it's okay. You're a Christian. Just like if they are from India, or I'm not exactly sure. It's Diwali, Indian? Okay, so people, you know, coming from India, they celebrate Diwali here. So when it's just their time to celebrate, they will wish you happy Diwali, right? So you will say, oh, don't say this to me. You won't say that, all right? So at the same time, you know, we're Christian, and now it's Christmas season. It's perfectly to say Merry Christmas to people, okay? Sometimes people, oh, I don't know you're Christian. Oh, that would be a very good opportunity to talk spiritually. Okay, so be generous when you see people. Don't wait till Christmas Day. Okay, that will be a little bit too late. Okay, say a little bit more before. Okay, all right. So I've been sharing with you the seven sayings of Jesus. So it's just a question: how many of you think you can recall this in order, like each of the sayings? Anyone? What is the first saying? The first saying is, Father, forgive them. Okay, next slide. So this is the first saying. It's about forgiveness, okay? Father, you don't have to remember everything, just remember forgiveness, okay? The first saying is about forgiveness. What about the second one? And the key word is paradise. Next slide. He was talking to the thief, okay? One of the thieves turned to him and request something, and then Jesus in reply say, today you're gonna be with me in paradise. So the only thing that you can remember is paradise. Paradise is the second saying. Okay, what about the third? Okay. Some of you, okay, next slide. He's talking to his beloved Christian disciples who came to know him to be John. Okay. The Apostle John. So Jesus turned to him and asked John to, from now on, please take care of my mom. Okay? That was a request to John. What about number four? The key word is forsaking. Forsaking. Okay, next slide. It seems like Jesus was asking, why are you leaving me? But as I have explained to you, is it has nothing to do with that. He was actually memorizing scriptures. He was memorizing Psalm 22, because this is how Psalm 22 begins. Eli, Eli, meaning my God, why have you forsaken me? That is how Psalm 22 begins. So he was not complaining. He was actually quoting or memorizing scriptures. And you need to go back to Psalm 22 to look through the whole psalm to know that he was not complaining. He was trusting God. Okay? So last month, the fifth saying, key word is thirst or thirsty. Exactly. Next slide. Yeah. He was literally and physically thirsty. He was asking help, give me something to drink. Just paraphrase that, okay? So today, next slide, we come to the sixth saying, and it is just as famous, okay? And it has to be spoken in "It is fish." It is like this. Okay, it is a victory cry. Okay, Jesus said, "It is finished." Okay, so next slide. So what I plan to do is to help you understand things around this saying first, and then we will ask the question, "What is that to me?" Okay. So first, things that you need to know about the sixth saying. Number one, this saying, meaning "it is finished," it can only be found in John. All four Gospels, they all recorded in different ways how Jesus went through his suffering. But only John 19:30, that is the only place that you will see Jesus said, "It is finished." Okay? Number two, as I said already, this was a victorious declaration. It was not just a statement. It was not just a saying. It was actually a declaration. Okay? I'll show you. Okay, right here. If you go back, I like the way that you guys have your scripture printed on the second sheet. Okay? If you take a look at verse 28, okay? "Later, knowing that everything had been finished." Okay? So the saying "it is finished" is a response to what you see in verse 28. Because John said in verse 28, "Later, knowing that everything has now been finished," so that leads to the six sayings, and the sixth saying is "it is finished." Okay? So it's a response to what John said in John 19:28. Okay? So there's another way of looking at it is when Jesus said, I am thirsty, it was his last kick or his last push. Because remember, he was physically thirsty, he was losing blood, he was probably losing consciousness as well, he was going down. And every time when he wants to breathe, he has to yank his entire body up on a very rough cross. So that is the only way he can catch a little air. And if you ask, why did he say this? Is so that he will be able to get a last push. The last push is the sixth saying. It is finished. And after he said this, very quickly, he died. Okay? So the fifth saying, the close connection is, the fifth saying is Jesus preparing for the last push, so that when he say this, loudly, the next time we'll talk about this. He made that public declaration to God, to human being, to everyone, that it is finished. Okay? Now, according to Matthew, there are actually a few passages here. According to Matthew, Mark, Luke is the one that we will look at next month. Luke 23:46 is the seventh saying. These verses tell us that Jesus spoken loudly, okay? And that begins with saying number four, saying number six, and saying number seven. Specifically, Jesus, when he ushered the seventh saying, it was not mumbled. He said it loudly, okay? And these two references let us know that when he say, "God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He spoke it loudly. So the fourth saying, he say it in a loud, very loud way. The seventh saying, he also say it in a loud way. So most likely, the sixth saying, he also said with a loud cry. Okay? So he did not mumble. He said it with every fiber in his body. Also with the help of a little drink. I was thirsty. He just yanked it out. "It is finished." And then the last line, which something that we're going to look at next month. Okay? Now, one more thing. The sermon called It Is Finished in English, three words. In Greek, one word, okay? And the Greek is here, tetelestai, okay? So this word is translated, it is finished. But in Greek, it's only one word, okay? And if you ask, what does that Greek word mean? It is an accounting term. How many of you are accounting, doing it by profession? No accountants? Okay, so this word, tetelestai, is an accounting word. It means pay in full. It means done. It means it is finished. It's where the word, the translation it is finished comes out. Because everything is paid in full, done, complete. And that is what that means. Okay? So, next slide. Now, we move on to what I call the takeaway. Every message, what I plan to do, what I hope to do is to help you to take something away from the message. And that something is the one with the yellow, you know, color. If you ask, what is that all about the sixth saying is, in my conclusion or the result of my study or preparation to the message is, Jesus is all you have and need. Okay? Jesus is all you have and need. You don't need anyone else. You don't need anything else. And I'm going to help you with these three explanations. They are not my ideas. That's why I have to put it in quotation and the place that where I borrow it. Okay? So these three ideas are not my ideas. Okay? But they are good ideas. So I'm going to borrow their ideas, but I will add some explanation to support what I want you to understand is the sixth saying is about Jesus is all you have and need. Okay? Now, from three different ways. The first way is the prophecies of Scripture has been completed. Remember, pay in full. It is finished. Complete. There are different terminology, but trying to explain the same thing, okay? Number two, the judgment of sin was complete. And number three, the forgiveness of sins was made available through the shedding of blood. Okay, so let me just go back and quickly talk about each one of them. So when Jesus said, it is finished, he was not talking about he was finished. There's a big difference, okay? So don't equate when Jesus said, it is finished to mean I am finished. No, he never meant that, okay? What he meant was what he did on the cross. Jesus' work on the cross was completed, okay? His whole assignment of dying for our sins on the cross, that part of his work was completed, finished, paid in full. That is what he means. Okay? Now, the first one is the prophecy of Scripture has been complete. Remember, even actually last week when I talked about the fifth saying, something I said was Jesus fulfilled a lot of prophecies from the Old Testament about him. In the Old Testament, there are a lot of what they call is a technical word, prophecies, meaning God has already said ahead of time before that things finally or ultimately fulfill in the person of Jesus. And there are many of these prophecies about Jesus, okay? In the Old Testament, long before he became a human, long before he came to us in the form of a baby, okay? Now, some examples. Remember what I said. The fourth saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was taken from Psalm 22, verse 1. That is example number one. Last month, the fifth saying, Jesus said, I am thirsty. That little sentence, I am thirsty, was taken from Psalm 69, verse 21. So it was not just a word, I'm thirsty, but the entire statement, I am thirsty, was taken from Psalm 69:21. Okay? Now, give you one more. Next month, when Jesus say, "Now I commit myself to you, God," I'm paraphrasing, okay? That line is also taken from the Old Testament. Okay? So, I'm giving you three examples already, and there are many, many more. Okay? Some talk about, when Jesus was hung on the cross, his undergarment, his underwear, even the underwear, the Roman soldiers were interested. And the original plan was to divide that underwear into four pieces, or I don't even know how many pieces, because everyone wanted a piece of it. I don't know why. Don't ask me. But then one of the soldiers said, "Hey, wait. This underwear is made in one, not sort of sewed together. It's one piece." So eventually, instead of dividing that underwear into different parts, this soldier said, "Why don't we throw the dice and see who's going to get the whole entire one?" Because the underwear was made in one piece. So even in that thing, you saw that in the Old Testament. I'm giving you four examples already. I need to stop. So it is in this way that Jesus has fulfilled, at least up to the point when he died. Okay? He has fulfilled so many prophecies about him in the Old Testament. Give you one more. Do you remember when Jesus died? And if you compare his death with the two other criminals, do you know how the two criminals die? Do you know how they die? Anyone? Their feet were being broken because the Romans want them to die quick. And if you are being punished and nailed on the cross, you won't die quickly. It's a very slow death. Sometimes it will cost you 2 or 3 days, okay? Because the Romans wanted the people to die right there. So you know what they did? They came around each of these thieves. They broke their legs. What happened when they broke their legs? They will all drop. And when they drop, they cannot breathe. And if they cannot breathe, they die out of lack of air. That is how they died. They came to Jesus. Did they break Jesus' legs? Yes or no? Take a guess. Why? He was dead. That part is also talked about in the Old Testament. Talking about Jesus, when he died, none of his bones were broken. Everything was intact when he died. Okay? So all these things you'll be able to see in the Old Testament. And Jesus, he fulfilled all these things, of course, up to when he died. After he died, he continued to fulfill, and then the ultimate thing, fulfillment, will be the resurrection, okay? But we have not get there yet, okay? We're just specifically talking about up to the death of Jesus on the cross. So up to that point, everything about Jesus, every prophecy about Jesus that you see in the Old Testament was fulfilled on him. And as he said, "It is finished," the first understanding is the prophecy of Scripture about Jesus had been complete. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the judgment of sin was complete. Do you know that? What is the price tag for sin? What is the cost? If you sin, what is the cost? What is the price tag? Everything has a price tag, right? This has a price tag. This has a price tag. Everything has a price tag, meaning there's a cost. It's not free. So what is the, or if I use the biblical way, what is the wages of sin? No, what is the wages of sin? What do you need to pay for your sin? Death. When you sin, you use your death to pay for it, okay? So sin, the cause of sin is your life, okay? But You cannot afford it. Why? Because you only have one life. And you don't just sin once. How many of you just sin once all your life? None of us. So if every sin costs your life, just imagine how many sins you have committed. So how can you pay for it? You cannot. All right? So because of that, in the Old Testament, beginning from, it goes all the way back to Genesis 3. I don't know whether you can go that far in your memory. You know what happened when, after Eve and Adam sinned? What did God do? God provided them clothing made of animal skin. Okay? Genesis 3:21. Okay, after Adam and Eve sinned, God covered them, gave them clothing, but the clothing was made of skin, animal skin. How can you get animal skin and put it on a human to be clothing? You have to kill him. You have to kill the animal first. So that is already the beginning of to show you that, you know, this is the price to pay. And that also explains why in the Old Testament they have animal sacrifices. But the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament is just temporary. Okay? They work, but they only work in a very limited way. The entire sacrificial system is pointing to what we call the ultimate way. And what is the ultimate way? Jesus' death. Okay? That's why it costs Jesus his life when we sin. It's supposed to be ours. It's supposed to be you, me. But instead, Jesus took our place. And he died for our sins on the cross. And because he died for our sins on the cross, his death, his shed blood, satisfy or pay in full the judgment of our sins. That part, Jesus said, finish. There's no more. That's why today, Christianity, we don't require you to bring your animals here, right? Even the Jews, they no longer have this sacrificial system. Okay? They may have other reason to explain it, but the thing is, they don't have animal sacrifices when they worship God, not in the synagogue. And for Christians, we don't sacrifice animals here, right? We don't have blood, we don't have knives, we don't have animals, we don't do this. Why? It's because in our belief, Jesus has already paid for it, paid in full. There's no more need. That's why our worship to Jesus is of another things. We don't have animal sacrifices within our worship experience because Jesus has already paid for it. Jesus, take our place. It is supposed to be you or me being hung on the cross. But Jesus said, let me do it. Let me take your place. And he died for our sins on the cross. And when he said, it is finished. Another way of seeing it is his death has paid in full the punishment, the requirement for our sins. Okay? That's what it means. Number three, the forgiveness of sin was made available through the shedding of blood. There's one important Bible verse, if you're taking notes, you need to have. Okay? Let me give it to you first. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And this is what the Bible said. In fact, the Old Testament law requires that nearly everything, talking about the tabernacle, everything in the tabernacle needs to be cleansed by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That part. If there is no shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness. That explains why in the Old Testament there's a animal sacrificial system. Because when they kill the animal, when they shed the blood of that animal, that will provide temporarily forgiveness from God to the person who sinned. Temporarily. But because there was a shed blood, So that's why even when we are talking about temporally or in a very limited sense, there was forgiveness. Now, Jesus also shed his blood when he was hung on the cross. And his blood has no comparison with any animals that people offer up to God in the Old Testament time. It's way, 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 way better. In fact, the Bible used the phrase, one sin for all. Have you heard of that phrase? Meaning that Jesus simply just offered himself, his life, his blood, on our behalf, once. And the effect of that offering up his blood, his life to God, because of our sins, works forever. Okay? That is the basis, that is the foundation why there is forgiveness extended to us. Okay? Because Jesus' blood made that forgiveness possible, available. Okay? Of course, it would take his resurrection to make the final deal, the final thing. But the thing has been ready. The things have been made available at the time when Jesus died on the cross. Everything was there, available. It takes the resurrection to make everything. Now it is effective. You understand what I mean? There's a difference. First, you prepare the things. That is where Jesus did on the cross. And then the resurrection simply just kicks in and make it work now. That is the difference. Okay? So when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, the third understanding of this is his shed blood, the blood of the Son of God, has made available God's forgiveness invitation. It's there. Okay? And as Jesus being rose from death to life 3 days later, it makes this available to now is effective. Okay? That is what it means. So even though this word in Greek, one word, in English, three words, very, very simple, very, very short statement, but is powerful. Powerful in the sense that for human being, it gives us wow, now we have a chance. Now this invitation is made available. It's good news to us, human beings, but it's bad news to Satan and the evil spirits. To us, yes. To them, I'm done. You see the difference? It's the same statement, but depending on who is listening in and who is taking it, you know, if it is taking it from us, from our point of view, yes, thank God. Thank you for making the invitation of salvation available. Thank you for making forgiveness available. Yes, good news. But for Satan and his evil spirit, man, we're done. One word, same sentence. It is finished. Okay? So that's why, after explaining all these things to you, it goes back to here. Okay? Behind the sixth saying, Jesus is all, not just part, all you have and need. And because of that, it demands you to trust him, to believe in him, not only 50%. Some Christians, they believe in God in 50%. Some of you may be believing in God 75%. Or maybe you are 85-89%. That is not enough. Okay? That is not enough. You cannot just believe in Jesus in 89%. No. Why? Because he put in all his effort. So his requirement of you is you have to trust him completely. And of course, God knows all about us. You understand that maybe for some of us, many of us, at this point, we're not there yet. We're not 100%. You understand that? But his demand is, you have to learn to trust him completely. Okay? If you are not there, you realize that you are not there, you ask him to help you. You cannot forever stay in 50%. You cannot forever stay in 75%. It doesn't work that way. Okay? Right? You have to learn to trust him, if not today, one day. Or every day you can tell yourself, okay, if today I trust him 75%, can tomorrow I trust him 76%? On Tuesday, can I trust him 77%? On Wednesday, I trust him 78%. You know what I'm talking about? You have incrementally improvement in your trust in him. And your direction, just as what Jesus has committed him to you, your direction is, I will learn, I will make myself to trust him 100% in the future with his help. Okay? That is the only thing that is worth from Jesus' point of view. This is what I expect from you. Okay? But he makes room. He gave us room to improve. So never just stay in where you are. Tell yourself, if this is how Jesus made this available and respond to what he has done on the cross for me, I also need to make a commitment to improve my trust in him. Improve. The key word is improve. It's not 1 to 100. It's 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5. There's something that we can all do it. Okay? So do this kind of improvement. Never thought about 1 to 100. It never works. It never works in my life. I'm sure it never works in your life. Okay? But if it is just talking about 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, yes, we can make that improvement. So in light of what Jesus said, it is finished. What you can respond is, God, thank you for all the things that you have done. And I promise and I ask with your help to help me improve from 0 to 1, 1 to 2. All I need is, if I see that I'm improving, that is good. And I'm sure every improvement I experience, it will be pleasing to you. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time that we can come together and think about, you know, your sixth statement. It is finished. And what it means to us in light of what you have done. In response to your great love, your great work on the cross, you have helped us to see that all you are looking for from us, all you are expecting from us, is to improve our trust in you. And the kind of improvement that you're looking for is not 1 to 100, but 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, which is something that we can all do with your help. The only thing is whether we are willing to commit ourselves with that kind of incremental type of improvement so that we can, every time when we make an improvement in our trust in you, it will please you. And when we do something that pleases you, hopefully it will also satisfy us as well. Lord, help us out. Without your help, we won't be able to get very far. But with your help, there is always hope. So we trust you. We thank you for how you love us. And now we are approaching you, asking for your help so that we will be able to see and experience incremental trust. Our trust in you will continue to improve. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I...